Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock today, and looking forward to the program. Hope you're going to be able to stick with us. And again, we are live, and if you want to give a call today, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can always give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Look forward to hearing from you. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've got some other things to talk about yet today as well. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for another opportunity to be on the air. We thank you for a beautiful day today. Watch over us now, we pray. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you, and good program with Pastor John Lutz. Just before us, I was kidding him. He said some nice things about me. That was amazing. I told him, I said, you probably timed that. You thought I would be walking from the car to the end of the station, and I wouldn't hear all those good things, but I was running a few minutes behind, and so I was in the car, and I heard him say good things. I had to stay in the car and listen to that. I couldn't believe it. No, no, Pastor Lutz is a good guy, good friend, and appreciate his program. And I was mentioning that too because I also want to mention, as he did on his program, that a week from today, in addition to being the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump as the 45th President of the United States, it's also we're going to do a combined program that day. And we're going to be talking about some of the things going on looking at some things that we might see coming down the horizon here with a new Trump administration. This is obviously quite a marked change from the outgoing Obama administration. Without getting into too much of it right now, you only have to look at the attitude towards Israel, the attitude towards Christians. Those are two areas in particular. We're coming from an Obama administration that is one of the most anti-Israel administrations that we have seen, to a incoming administration that has a desire to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognizes that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And also, certainly, under the Obama watch, the United States, for the first time, has actually been put on a list of the most countries in the world with the most persecution of believers. And you would think the United States, what do you mean the United States is a country on the list of countries in the world that persecute believers? Well, it's because of the situation in the courts. We have seen cases where, for instance, the Christian Baker and the photographers and things like that that have been persecuted legally, the legal battles, and in essence, the American courts have been deciding that our own religious freedom and expression it has to be confined to inside of your church, inside of your home, basically in private, not out in public. And out in public, you've got to restrain yourself from expressing your Christian worldview. And and then we've got an incoming administration where I remember at the convention, Donald Trump promised to repeal the Johnson Amendment and to allow churches to not feel fettered by the IRS in terms of being persecuted for expressing their views on certain subjects and topics in the the political realm. And so, we've got a president who didn't want to say one nation under God. We've got going out with a president that is, for all his faults in the past, there's still the persistent stories that about a year or so ago, he put his faith in Christ as his Savior, and he has, been favorable towards Christians. And so it's going to be quite a change. If you can tell, I'm a lot more excited about it, and I know Pastor Lutz shares the same view, much more excited than had we had Hillary Clinton be elected. That would have been a disappointment, and that would have been a time for a great deal more concern as believers. And but thankfully, God intervened, as Daniel said. God sets up kings and takes down kings. I believe that he brought Donald Trump in for this time. He's given us a little bit of a reprieve in this country where we can continue to do his work freely and openly, and we don't have to feel hemmed in. Like I said, United States making the list for the first time, 12 worst Christian persecution nations. That's what they're saying it is. The 12 worst. You can check that article out on our Facebook page. That's Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And also, you can also check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there as well. Well, got a number of things going on. Got a couple of callers who have called in and are waiting patiently. And we're going to go with Nancy here. And ladies first today, since they called in about the same time. Nancy, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Al. And I, too, am very, very excited about Donald Trump's inauguration in only 1 week. But that's not why I called.
Mm-hmm.
My call today is concerning faithful, generous Christians who not only tithe to their local church, but do not use wisdom in how they, I consider them not wise stewards of the money that God has entrusted to them. For example, someone is paying a very high interest rate on a home mortgage, like 9 or 10%,
mm-hmm.
It's possible to lower it to 2 or 3%, and when it's suggested to people, they'll say, oh, well, the Lord's coming soon. I'm not going to worry about it. To me, that's not being a wise steward, of your income. So that's just one example. So do you have any good Bible verses to indicate, how we should look at this? Thank you.
Oh, yeah, and obviously we want to be good stewards because, the money that God gives us, he expects us to use that money not only to supply our needs, but also to help others out and to help out our local church to further his work. And I'm thinking of a verse here, and I'm trying to see if I can find it. And let's see. No, that's not the one I'm thinking of here. There's a passage, and give me a moment here to look while I'm talking. I kind of do two things at one time here. But there's a passage. If I can think about it, maybe you can think about it too, Nancy. Here while I'm looking mm-hmm. here. It's I believe in Ephesians where he talks about him that stole, steal no more, and mm-hmm. But rather work so that he has to give to those that that have needs. And I am just drawing a blank on that. Let's see if I can find something here real quick. Kind of hard to work around. There it is, Ephesians chapter 4. I thought it was in Ephesians. I'm getting new glasses, and every time I try and look sideways out of the glasses that I have, everything's fuzzy. And I went to the eye doctor mm-hmm. earlier this week, and they looked at it, and I didn't notice this. I know it's a little off topic, but I didn't notice it. I know you get older, your eyes usually get worse. Mm-hmm. My vision actually improved.
Wonderful.
I didn't experience. I've never experienced that before. I've been wearing glasses since I was in the fourth grade, and my prescription actually improved.
Started in second grade.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and she showed. Yeah, after we went through everything, she said, because you're sitting there with that little thing, those funny goggle things they make you look through, and And she's showing a thing on there, and she goes, okay, now that we're done, she says, look, this is what your prescription is right now. And I'm looking at this fuzzy line on the wall. And then she says, and this is what it should be. And all of a sudden, I could see
it. Praise so the Lord.
For the last year.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I've been complaining to my wife, saying my glasses are, I just can't see anything anymore.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's the reason
a miracle
there.
Miracle healing.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know it.
Yeah, well, let me get back to your question here, too. In Ephesians chapter 4, and Ephesians has got a lot of good stuff in here, and in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a number of things going on here, and it's talking about our maturing in Christ, and it's got things in there like in verse 22, putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, in verse 24, the new man, which after God's creating righteousness and true holiness. And then after talking about that, and that's talking about our redemption, you know, becoming a new creature in Christ, He gives us a series of things, how we ought to conduct ourselves as new believers, starting in verse 25, where he starts with saying, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And then in verse 28, and this is, I think, partly what can address your subject here or your question. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good. And this is the key phrase here, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And, you know, the stealing part is not necessarily what we're talking about here. We're talking about stewardship. But the point that I'm making here with this verse is God is encouraging us to be productive. You know, we're encouraged elsewhere to be a good steward of what God has given us. And here he's talking about believers laboring, working with our hands of things which is good, which means engaging in worthwhile work. You know, not, I'm a Christian, the only job I can get's working at the local bar selling booze and alcohol. Well, you know, I could use that and say, well, it's legal. Well, it's not right. You know, it's just one step. Then if I move to Colorado, can I say, well, I can just start growing pot and selling that to the kids because it's legal. No, it's not right. So there's,
I know somebody that's considering doing that.
Oh, yeah. Legal. Yeah. There's a lot of, there's
a lot of money. Yeah.
You know, we're coming up on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, you know, well, if somebody who's a doctor or you know, nurse or something, well, I do abortions because they're legal. I don't agree with them, but they're legal. Yeah, remember what was his name, the running mate for Hillary Clinton, Kane, in making a big deal about how, well, I personally do not believe in abortion, but it's legal, so I support it up to and including partial birth.
Yes.
You know, no.
What a joke.
No, you're supposed to work and do the thing which is good, meaning you do work that is not just merely legal, but work that is right in the eyes of God. You know, I'm not going to go into a business where I sell alcohol, cigarettes, and lottery tickets because I don't believe in those things. So I'm not going to do, I don't think they're godly. So I'm not going to go and work where I have to sell those things or anything connected with them. If I, you know, I don't want to do that because that's my choice. I want to do things which are good. And then there's the key that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, if we're not being a good steward, we're not going to have to give to those that need. The first source of charity, really, in the Bible, is the family. The second source is the local church. And if somebody is taking care of their family and giving and taking care of their local church, you know, you're going to have to be able to give to family members, to help family members that are out in need in your family, but also then in your church family when there's a member in your church that has.
I'm thinking, if I may interrupt you, I'm thinking more of people that are very good Christians.
Yeah.
And they do tithe and they give to other charities, but they don't use discernment. Like, for example, like I gave you the example of paying three times the interest rate on your mortgage.
Right, right.
It could be very easy. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I guess I'm trying to, in a roundabout way, get around to that.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that he may have to give, you know, you're doing something, you're trying to be wise about this so that you have enough that you can not only take care of your needs and your family's needs, and really, by extension, too, for believers, for your church's needs, but you can help other people as well. And if you have, you know, my wife and I, we refinance our house because, you know, we had a reasonable, you know, mortgage interest rate, and we were able to, with the low rates this past year, to redo our mortgage, so we got a lower rate. Well, that enables us, even though our payment is the same, we went from a 30-year payment to a 15-year payment plan.
And
we're ahead of the game. So we'll be, if the Lord tarries, we'll have our house paid off, and that money will be freed up sooner that we can put into the Lord's work. There's things that you can do with a little discernment to make decisions so that you have more to give to help out in the Lord's work. You know, I know at your church out there, Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, Pastor Rusnacko, in fact, they'll have a program on right after us here at 2 o'clock. We see the missionaries that come through. And in the Independent Baptist Church, for people who aren't familiar with this, in the Independent Baptist churches, we have what we call faith missionaries. And my wife and I went this route when we went to the Samoan Islands and planted a church in the South Pacific in the Samoan Islands. And we went to churches, we shared our burden, and people in those churches made a decision, you know, as a church, that they wanted to help out with our needs so that we could go there. And we did not have a big organization supporting us. We had instead a number of churches, your church being one of them, that gave to our need and enabled us to be able to be in the Samoan Islands and plant a church there. And that church is still there. And there's another church and another island that's there now as a result of that church. And the Lord's work is going on because there were faithful Christians in churches like yours and other churches that gave to our needs so that we could go out. You know, it was the gifts of God's people. Oftentimes, it helped Paul out on his missionary journey, and then, of course, we see believers who, you know, they lose a job and they're for a time they're in need, or sickness, where church members come together, or they see somebody in the community that the church feels necessary. But if the members of the church are not being good stewards of the resources that God gives them, then they're not going to have to give to them that need. And I think you're absolutely right. The idea that, you're talking about renegotiating a mortgage, that can seem challenging, but, you know, really it's the most challenging thing is finding a mortgage agent that you trust and feel comfortable with, and then not getting writer's cramp when you're signing your name and initialing constantly on all the pages. It's really not that difficult because they do all the hard work. And if it saves you money that you can have to put into the Lord's work. Somebody said a long time ago, and maybe you've heard a similar statement, a guy said, "I'm not after your wallet." He says, "I'm after your heart." Because he said, if I have your heart, I'll get your wallet will come along. Because he said, people give to the things that they love. And think about it.
Without a doubt.
You know, think about it. People get a hobby. And, you know, they get a hobby and they'll spend a fortune on that hobby because they love being involved with that. And think of the money that you're willing to spend on your friends and family members, you know, especially when you get grandchildren, right? you want to give them things, you know, and so if God's people are filled with a love of the Lord's work, they're going to want to give to the Lord's work. And just like people, we just come out of the, you know, Christmas season, and people are starting to get, you know, the bills in the mail because they spent too much at Christmas time. But think of how many people at Christmas time, they're sitting there going, "Well, I don't know where the money is, but my kids really want this, or my grandkids really want this, or my wife or my husband really wants this, and I really want, you know, I want to make them happy this Christmas, and I'm just trying to find out how I can get that extra money." You know, people, you know, would actually work an extra job to have money for Christmas. My wife's one grandmother, you know, she's with the Lord now, but She had a part-time job because she had lots of kids, and she used that part-time job to make money specifically so she could buy her kids and her grandkids. She had a dozen, about a dozen kids, and so you can imagine how many grandkids she had. And she wanted to be able to to buy gifts for her grandkids, and so she worked another job, not that they needed it, but that she had money to give gifts to her grandkids. And, you know, if God's people get that kind of love for God and his work, then people are going to want to do what they can to make a little extra money, to free up some money by, you know, getting lower interest rate or something like that so that they can so that they can give to the Lord's work. And so that's why I was kind of looking at that verse there, that he may have to give really to him that needeth.
You know, yeah, they say you can really learn a lot about a person by looking at their checkbook and who they give, you know, a certain amount of, you know, money to this person or pay this, you know, what your priorities is a really good indication
of
how you spend your money.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
All right. Well, I appreciate that call.
That's all your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. I hope you'll listen next week when we do our combined program starting at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Inauguration.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh, I got to get to our next caller, too. I almost forgot our second caller here. So I appreciate that, Nancy. Thank you. And Don, sorry to keep you waiting. Welcome to the program this afternoon.
Oh, Brother Al, great program as always. You know, if you go into Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich man ruleth over the poor, and to borrow is servant to the lender.
Yeah, so, I'm going to have to warn you. We only got a few minutes left here, so we'll kind of have to move quickly into it. But yeah, that's you're absolutely right. The borrower is servant to the lender, and it's like with what Nancy was talking about in, you know, negotiating down your interest rates, you can get out from underneath that lender a lot faster, can't you?
Oh, exactly right. What I wanted to talk with you about is have the listening audience pray for the inauguration, you know, on next Friday, because
there's been
a number of prophecies that says that, you know, that Trump will not make office. There was a 1985 pastor,
Jack
Darnell.
Yeah, and again, I have to interrupt you there mostly because of the time right now, and I apologize because I did keep you waiting. But we will be talking about some of that stuff next week, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, I believe God is protecting Donald Trump because he shouldn't have been there in the first place, if you think about it. But, if something does happen to him, under the Constitution, Mike Pence will become the president. And certainly he would be a good man, too. But go ahead.
Okay, but Pastor Darnell stated back in 85, he saw the last president, described him, he says, tall, thin man with short cropped hair, big ears, and he was a black man. And his deacons say, do not mention that in this church. This is a racist country. We'll never have a black president. And then so, you know, Pastor Darnell kept quiet, but then he said, at first the people loved him, then he became a terrible dictator. If he goes for that third term, you'll see America change.
Well, and again, you know, when we look at extra-biblical prophecy, I'm always leery of that because, you know, the Bible talks about if you know, in Isaiah, Ezekiel or Deuteronomy 18, I believe it is, and Deuteronomy 13 has some good passages there dealing with that. And because I always remember Harold Camping, you know, trying to get everybody to believe that the Lord was coming back. And you know, if people would have looked at that and said, well, he's failed in the past, he's not 100%. So I always take these things a little bit with a grain of salt. I know a lot can happen in a week. And like I said, we'll be talking about this next week at length, but a lot can happen in a week, and yeah, you're right. We need to pray for Donald Trump, president-elect. I know there's a lot of forces out there. There's a lot of people who would like him to not ever take that oath of office, and you're right to bring that up, Don, because we do need to pray for him. I'm thinking of Ronald Reagan in a sense where we had that was supposedly the curse. Every president elected in a year divisible by 20 died in office, and certainly Kennedy did, and Reagan was the number 20, and he was assassinated. He came awful close to dying. In fact, they said if the bullet had gone about an inch more, he would. I think God protected him, and so we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic, and again, Don, want to thank you for that. I hope you'll tune in next week when we get that, and we'll talk about that some more. We'll see what happens, but I'm optimistic. Pray for our country, and join us next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.